In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Interesting story this morning in the Gospel, don't you think? It's this understanding, what is Jesus doing in the midst of all of this? And then we have to ask ourselves in the middle of it, think about what it meant to be this Gerasene, the demoniac, as he's so lovingly referred to. And think about what happened in his life. And we think about and wonder, you know, has God ever done anything so dramatic in my life that I've changed so greatly to the rest of the people around me? And if that is true for you, how did you respond? Did it draw you closer? Or did it scare you away? And so in this story, we discover that through healing, Jesus is actually making a disciple. So we hear about the demoniac. Jesus has moved across to the other side. We know from the fact that there is a whole herd of swine that these are not fearing people, so to speak. These are not Jewish people. They are pagans of some sort, not going along. Jesus would have been a unique experience for them one way or the other, but to have him come and do what he did was startling, wasn't it? So he comes across this man who is so possessed, so to speak, with legions, numbers of demons inside this one individual. Obviously, his place in society had been eliminated. He wasn't with the in crowd. He was pushed out. He was so bizarre in his actions, they would chain him up, and he would break free from chains and shackles and go running out into the forest naked, of all things. And Jesus arrived, and the demons immediately start speaking to him. What will you have to do with me? And they immediately recognize who Jesus is. And they think they're making a deal. So, Jesus, send us into the abyss. Put us into the herd of swine. So Jesus gives permission for that. And then all the swine run into the water and drown. And probably what they had in mind. But the interesting part comes, and imagine this would be true if you made your living raising hogs, so to speak, and this person comes across, gets out of the boat, engages with the one person you know for sure nobody ever engages with, potentially dangerous human being, and then something interchanges with them, and all of a sudden all of your pigs jump into the water and drown. It must have been quite startling. And they weren't particularly happy about it, were they? No, but they didn't really say that Jesus had anything to say. But what a marvelous thing to see happen, amen? I mean, this man, who had presumably been this way for a long period of time, I'm sure people had grown up and don't go near him. Just stay away from him. If you see him coming, you go the other way. We try to put clothes out for him, but he won't put them on. We try, he won't receive help. And we think he might be violent, but he certainly has his mind. And then they see this happen, and all pieces to it, and all of a sudden he's in his right mind. There's this amazing transformation. And starting in verse 34, when the swine saw what had happened and told it in the city and in the country, then people came out to see what had happened. It was so miraculous, and this person was so well known that everyone came to see what went on here. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, a disciple, sitting at the feet of the teacher, clothed and in his right mind. And their response? They were afraid. See, the interesting thing is, you would think it would initially have been a little bit shocked and trying to do something with the herd that's now in the lake or the Sea of Galilee. Now, they see this man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind, and it scared them. It scared them. And you would think, well, what an amazing thing we just saw happen here. They went and told everyone, and they're actually afraid of it. I know. It's startling. But then the fallout from that continues forward. Those who had seen it told them how one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. They've seen the most miraculous thing they've ever seen. They saw someone who was literally brought into his right mind, running wild, breaking chains and bonds, running into the countryside. They avoided him. Some people, probably their entire lives, younger people, warned to stay away from him. And they see this incredible change in him. There are people that witness that Jesus was the one who made it happen. And their response to him is, you need to leave. And we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, what do we do when Jesus so transforms our lives or the lives of someone around us that it's startling? Do we run to Jesus, or do we run from Jesus? Interesting position that I have in the role in this world these days. And this may surprise you, and maybe it won't. I think people come very close to Jesus. I think families come very close to Jesus. I've seen their life transformed for the better because of the relationship they have built with Jesus. And you know what they do? Sometimes they run. We have something happening within our own tradition that we sit sort of complacently and watch. If we want the young people leave the church, what do we do? We confirm them. And then run. Now, you're chuckling because it sounds true, doesn't it? It's like Episcopalian, whomever, with the squirrels getting into the here, and the Baptist is like, what to do with them? And the Episcopal priest says, oh, no problem. We can get rid of them easy. He goes, well, what do you do? We just confirm them. What we don't seem to remember, and sisters, is when we look at something like that, exactly what these people saw. They saw a change in someone. Relationship this man had, what appeared to be brief. So it scared the other people around. So Jesus so transforms our lives that to our lives, so to speak, and is scared. And we can say, I'm sorry. Through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just fade back in and away from Jesus. But the good news is this. In this case, that's not what happened. That fallout continued. They asked Jesus to leave them. They're still seized with great fear. But actually before Jesus left. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to be with him. And who could blame him? I mean, he said, this person who just healed him, they went, you have to go. You can't be here. So this man, you. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare what God has done for you. This is in the same place in which he was sent, and who came to see what had happened, and comes again and says, Jesus, you have to go. And this man, you. And Jesus says, no. He could have continued to recognize what Jesus had done in his life, and he could have been obedient to what God was calling him to do through Jesus Christ. He could have lived into the fullness of his transformation, or he just went, yeah, kind of scary. But how in this society? Because he wasn't part of the community, he was an the healing that he received gave him an opportunity to actually be part of the crowd. But Jesus said, no, return for you. And what did he do? Shockingly, so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how Jesus had done for him. He became a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, at the expense of his own way in community and his opportunity to return or to be part of the community was shown through his faith in Jesus Christ, and he continued to proclaim the good news of what Jesus had done for him. What an amazing disciple this man was. And so often, brothers and sisters, I know how difficult it can be to walk in this world as one whose life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. I mean, we're Episcopalian. We have a hard enough time proclaiming in this space where we are together the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we've been afraid of the world as Christians, haven't we? Each of us, at some time. Maybe I won't say anything. I don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. Oh, please, let's be honest. What we mean is, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be seen as different than everyone else in the world. But our obedience is called for. Our obedience to Jesus Christ, who is transformed and is still transforming our lives, is what God calls for, so that we become vessels, his tools, of carrying this good news. And when we do that, our lives are changed even more, and lives around us change. Living a life for Christ will, not may, will put us in uncomfortable places. Living our life for Christ will, not might, will put us in places where we, our kind, may not even be wanted. And we can convince ourselves that that's not what God really wants. But brothers and sisters, isn't that exactly what Jesus asked of this man this morning? Take your transformed life into this place that just threw me out. and tell them about me. A transformed life does not equate to an easy life. A transformed life equates to a full life. It equates to opportunity to recognize what Jesus has done for you and a call to tell the world what Jesus has done for you. So fall at his feet. Listen to the teacher. Hear the call. And go and tell. Even if they don't want to hear it, and even if it's uncomfortable, let me change that. Most especially when it's uncomfortable. And speak it clearly, most especially in the places where they have thrown Jesus out. Amen.